ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തപുരി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശമേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിദരദസ് ചർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവൈ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീതക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം അനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം നഃ കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ వ్యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమది సుందరమందహాసం వాతాళేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక ఋతువేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం జల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో ఏకాదశ స్కందం ది క్యాంటు 11 మెయిన్లీ డిస్కసెస్ అబౌట్ లిబరేషన్, ఇసన్ ఇట్. సో దేర్ ఆర్ టూ డిఫరెంట్ సంవాదం మీన్స్ డిస్కషన్స్, మ్యూచువల్ డిస్కషన్స్. ది ఫస్ట్ వన్ బిట్వీన్ నవయోగి, ద 9 యోగీస్ అండ్ కింగ్ నిమి. That is the first part, and later on between Krishna and Uddhava. So these two parts makes the Canto 11, Ekadasha Skanda. So there Sri Narada Maharshi instructs Vasudev and Devaki of a discussion happened between King Janaka or Nimi and Navayogi. That discussion happened before. Sri Narada Maharshi brings that and presents that to Vasudeva and Devaki. And that is in summarized to form in 4 chapters in the Ekadasha Skandam. Later on, Krishna explains the same discussions what has happened between in the Navayogi Samvadam. We call that as Navayogi Samvadam, between Navayogis and Janaka. Expanded form, Krishna instructs that to Uddhava. So, in these 31 chapters in the Ekadasha Skandam, the first one chapter talks about the destruction of the Yadu family, the Yadava family, destruction of the Yadava family. So, there is a certain reason why all this has been presented in the Bhagavatam. Sometimes people say that we have got problems in this world. Family is not correct, children are not listening. They go and say to Krishna. Krishna says to them, my family was also like that. There was not much different. If you look at Krishna's family, they also fought each other at the end. Smashed like anything. They took the sticks and beat each other up. Krishna says that is family life. So, in order to make us understand that once you are in the periphery of Maya, in the circle of Maya, there is nothing you can do about it. Everyone has to go through this. If something happens nicely in the family life, that is a bonus. But otherwise, it is to be understood like that. When people go to Krishna and complain to Krishna that it is all these things are happening, nobody is listening, children are not listening, nobody is agreeing each other in the family life, Krishna says, it was not much different in my case, what can I do? This is Krishna's answer to that. That's why that chapter to show to us that before you reach the stage of mukti and liberation, there is all these things one has to go through in life. So anyway, Sri Narada Maharshi instructed Karmayogam to Vasudev in Kurukshetram. This happened in Kurukshetram when they all went for the solar eclipse. When they went there, that is when this discussion happened between Vasudev and Sri Narada Maharshi, where Narada Maharshi spoke about the four chapters, which is famous in the Bhagavatam as Nivinavayogi Samvadam. That happened at that time. And when Vasudev came to know Krishna is the supreme truth, the supreme Brahman, or Sachidananda Brahman, knowing that, and Vasudev, knowing very well, surrenders at that point, and the knowledge of the soul was instructed to Vasudev by Sri Narada Maharshi at that time. But due to attachment to this world and to family, Vasudev has often forgotten that thing. And that is what is again, although Krishna has spoken about it at the time of appearance, Narada Maharshi has forgotten that, and again he had to remind him. Narada Maharshi was sent there to remind Vasudev about who Krishna is. Who Krishna is. So, whatever may be the standard of material enjoyment in this world, at one time or the other, they will all be destroyed. It is not going to last forever. No matter how great the sense gratification or sense enjoyment is, in order to show that the Yadavas were having a great time with Krishna's present in Dwaraka, they had all the material opulences. But in spite of that, no matter how great the facilities were there and Yadavas were enjoying it, but one day or the other, it will all be destroyed in order to show that the curse of the sages on the Yadavas. How Dhruvasava Maharshi and many other sages, they all came together and something happened among the Yadavas. They felt like offending them by trying to joke with them about dressing up Samba as a pregnant woman and asking them, what kind of baby will that be? Will that be a boy or a girl? To who asked this question? They asked the sages this question. And they asked the right sage among them, Dhruvasava Maharshi. So among all, the right person they found was Dhruvasava Maharshi. Dhruvasava's answer was straight away, he gave the answer also. He says, it will be neither man nor woman, it will be one of this, what do you call the pestle in the mortar, the big thing, what you use for grinding the thing, that will be what it will take birth into. And saying this, Dhruvasava looked at them and walked away from there without saying one word. It's only after that they realized that what has happened. So just with one small incident, the whole life changed for the Yadavas. Overnight, everything changed. From then onwards, it was the slope downwards. The trend was from then on, all that opulence was gone. Mutually, all misunderstanding, quarrel happened, and Krishna says, there is nothing I can do about it. You have invited yourself this. So, eventually, they all got destroyed in that process. For four chapters, this discussion between Janaka and Navayogis has happened. And in there, the importance of the soul, the knowledge of the soul and self-realization is spoken there. The sixth chapter is an introduction to Krishna and Uddhava's discussions. The sixth chapter is a preparation for that. Then after that, 23 chapters, Krishna has used 23 chapters to talk about the process of self-realization and all the different processes which is related with that, associated with that. And on the end of that, the last two chapters, in the Ekadasha Skandam talks about Yadugula Kshayam. Yadugula Kshayam means how the Yadava family completely got destroyed in that process. Like this, there are 31 chapters in the Canto 11. So far, what we have spoken about is that Sunday, we have been looking at this 18th chapter, isn't it? 18th chapter we have finished. So, as I spoke to you before, that the chapters which are, particularly the chapters 15, 16, 17 and 18. chapters 15, 16, 17 and 18. In one sense, they don't have much to help in spiritual life for those who are looking for some direction from Canto 11. 15th chapter talks about all the siddhis, isn't it? All the yoga siddhis, what one can develop in the through various ways. Krishna talks about the yoga siddhi. 16th chapter spoke about Krishna's opulences, vibhuti. And 17th chapter, Krishna talked about brahmachari and grihastha dharmam, varnashrama dharmam particularly. And 18th chapter talk about vanaprastham and sannyasam. That's what we finished last Sunday. Now, after that, in the next chapter, that is this 19th chapter, what does Krishna say in this chapter? It is an important chapter in the sense that for self-realization, there are certain things necessary to be done from our end. So earlier he mentions that through ashrama dharmam, that means brahmachari, grihastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, how it leads into knowledge, how that leads into knowledge, and eventually that also has to be given up. That is what Krishna is going to talk about in this chapter. In other words, although through arguments one may come to certain conclusions in this world, because the body is not a permanent thing, it's only a temporary thing. And dehadi prabhanjam means body, mind, intelligence, everything, which belongs to material nature, to get attracted to it and get baffled by that, if that also, one point, we have to come out of that connection with this body and the other upadhi. Upadhi means mind, intelligence, ego, everything. So, up to what point do we need this knowledge, spiritual knowledge? This is the question. Up to what point do we need the spiritual knowledge? We need the spiritual knowledge up to that point till we lose this misunderstanding about this body. We have a misunderstanding at the moment. Most of us, whether we agree or not, Krishna is saying to us, you are completely in a misunderstanding about yourself. That is the first thing. Krishna is going to tell us that. And after explaining to us, although he has repeated this many times before, still we think that being within the body, we can continue with our spiritual life, isn't it? But actually, this body is not of much help in any way in spiritual life, except that it is a burden on us to give us so many troubles and take us away from the focus, from the main thing, what we are actually. So that is what Krishna is going to say here. Krishna is saying here that this abhyasam in practice of this knowledge is necessary up to the point till this brahmam means this kind of misconception about this body, what we have at the moment. We have a strong misconception in us about the body. Till that misconception goes away from here, we have to practice the knowledge of the soul. We have to practice the knowledge of soul. And when the realization happens, both the body as well as this world completely gets dissolved. Completely gets dissolved. It would not exist anymore after that. And for him, he doesn't have anything to do afterwards. This is the process Krishna is going to talk about in this chapter. This process. It's a very important chapter in the sense from now on, everything you will find in the Srimad Bhagavatam all related to how to free yourself. Freeing from this body, freeing from this mind, freeing from this intelligence, freeing from the senses. Because this is what is stopping us in unable to come to get close to the truth. So therefore, here in this chapter, particular chapter, Krishna is saying to us that dehadi prabhanjam, that means this world as well as the body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything, all of them is actually puzzling us all the time, isn't it? There is a real puzzle which we are all experiencing every moment. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying to us that we are not this body, this is not your identity, this is not your life, you are not meant for misery, you are not meant to suffer here. Same thing Krishna repeats in the Bhagavad Gita also, but what's happening to us? As soon as we leave here, we plan our life centered around the body again, is it not?
So that is what is called the Brahmam. Brahmam means that puzzling us, what to do about this. So Krishna is saying, cultivate the knowledge and keep on cultivating the knowledge up to the point till you lose this identification with the body. After that, what Krishna is saying here is that anubhavam, anubhava sakshalkaram means realization, practical realization. When that happens, this material world will dissolve itself, the body, mind, intelligence, everything will go. This has been observed among the great souls who have realized the truth in that way. And Krishna says, after that, he has no responsibility in this world. You will notice that Krishna says that to Uddhava also later on, at the very end, that that still this body, if you look at that initial instructions to Uddhava, what did Krishna say? Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sajana bandhushu maya veshyamana samye samadre vijaraswagam. That vijaraswagam is that. Vijaraswagam means that maya veshyamana, that first of all, Krishna says, break up all the connections with this world. Sandhu sarvam parityajya, with what? Sneham, sojanam, bandushu. Attachment to your own people and relatives, friends, whatever we have got here. So, mayaveshyamana, after that, get fixed up towards me, attached to Krishna. Which means, in the Jnani's language, to the soul, devotee's language, to Krishna. That's all. There's no difference there. Mayaveshyamana. Then what else? Samyak. Samyak means you should attach in such a way that it doesn't break away again from there. Samyak. After that, what happened? Samadrik. Samadrik means once the attachment is complete and perfect, that you will see vision will become equal towards everything. In other words, Krishna's presence will be felt everywhere in the world. It should feel at that stage. And after that, Krishna says, Vijaraswagam. Vijaraswagam means just walk through this world. There's no more business to do here in this world. That is that stage. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrek vijaraswagam. This one verse is a summary of Ekadasha Skandam. So this particular chapter, what we are now going to discuss, requires a long introduction also, because afterwards you will notice many words Krishna has used in this chapter requires a lot of explanation to it. Otherwise we won't understand what Krishna is saying there. So therefore we'll continue with a long introduction to this chapter. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever instructions Krishna has given, either directly or through Sukadeva Goswami or through the devotees, all of them you can see in the Ekadasha Skandam. That is one thing. Everywhere, whatever is scattered, which is scattered around in all places, Kundi Devi's realization, Bhishma's realizations, Akrura's realizations, Gopi's realizations, Vritrasura's realizations, and in several Ambarish realizations, Prithumara's realization, that's all Bhagavatam is about, isn't it? All that instructions in a very condensed form you will see in the Ekadasha Skandam. It is not spoken, it's not mentioned that, oh, this is a summary of Prithus, this is a summary of Akrura, this is a summary of Gopi. It's not that. What it is the message what they had to give us. That message has come in Ekadasham in a summarized form. When you understand the message, you will see the same message is not much different from the great devotees who have spoken about that before. So, Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this word, Janmadhyasya Yadaha, isn't it? Janmadhyasya Yadaha. So, what does that mean? Janmadhyasya Yadaha means, when you look at this world, where it has all started, where did that all begin? Where does it stay? Where does it stay? And where does it eventually dissolve? This is the question. Janmadhyasya Yadaha. Janmadhyasya Yadaha. And at the end, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, that is called Satyam. Satyam Varam Dhimahi. Everything where it takes birth, where it is maintained, and where eventually it gets dissolved, Satyam Varam Dhimahi. That is Satyam. Satyam Varam Dhimahi. That means where it originates, where it stays, and where eventually it dissolves. So, where is the origin? Where does this all happen? And where is it sustained? And where does it eventually get destroyed? Where does it eventually destroyed? In other words, if you look back into our own life, you can see that our life also, it has to have an adhishtanam, base, isn't it? Life also needs a base. Without a base, living in this world is very risky. And base, or you can call it as, in Sanskrit, the word is adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the foundation on which you are building everything. That is the adhishtanam, or the base, or in other words, they also use the word substratum, or some like that. So, it is on that base that you are born, you are living, and you are leaving the body at the end. There is a base behind it. It's not that somebody has appeared like that and come and gone like that. There is a base in which it's all happening. So, what is the benefit of knowing that, if you ask that question? So, there should be something on which the life should be centered around. The life should have some support behind it. Some support behind it. Most of the people who live in this world, they do not have a support. And that is why you find so many problems also in this, in many people's life. Because there is no support anywhere. It's not based around anything. So, all of us have got different purposes in life in this world, isn't it? Different purposes in this world. You can see there, when as soon as someone is born, even from a childhood, there is a purpose. Even from the childhood, there is a purpose. When a child is born, he first thing is that the child wants to drink a lot of milk and sleep a lot. That's the beginning. That's his purpose at that stage. When, as soon as the baby is born, wants to drink a lot of milk and sleep a lot. That is that stage. After he grows up a little bit more, he is looking for to play, to have some games, fun. So naturally looking for toys, for friends, in this way, that is the purpose at that stage. And then he grows up, goes to school or whatever, college or whatever, then he wants to pass his examinations or study, all kinds of things. And he knows very well that when he grows up, he has to find some engagement, some employment or business or whatever he wants to do. He has to have some plan. And then after that, he will have plans about his marriage. And then after the marriage, family life, house, buying, property buying or acquiring wealth, all kinds of things. This way, at every stage in life, you can see there is always some purpose of living at that particular time, in that particular way. So, these are all purposes which comes inside from the mind. It comes from the mind. So, we give most of the importance to this thing called mind, isn't it? We give importance to this mind. But if you have thought about this, what is this mind? Mind is nothing but an illusory thing. It is a complete illusory thing. That in Sanskrit, the word is brahmatmakam. Brahmatmakam means what this mind does is it keeps moving. Always mind is moving and it is throwing ideas to us. That is that brahmam, mind that creates in us, the movement of the mind. And that is this change of thoughts which is continuously happening inside and keeping us moving one place to another, doing one thing or the other, and with some purpose like this, whatever we spoke about, throughout life we continue that, and that thing what is doing that is called the mind. That's called the mind. For example, what is interesting here is, say something like this, a horse or an elephant or any animal, say it's coming from Radlett to here, to center point. From Radlett, an animal is coming to center point. On that animal's body, there is a fly sitting there, which is going towards Radlett. Thinking that it's going towards Radlett, it is sitting on this animal, thinking that he is moving towards Radlett, but the horse or the elephant, whatever, it's coming towards center point. Now, the fly that is sitting on the animal is thinking, I am going towards Radlett. The horse or elephant which is coming towards center point, it is under the control of the it is actually moving towards center point. Two opposite directions it is moving. So but you know very well, even that fly or the ant, if it keeps moving, it's not going to get to Radlet. It will not get to Radlet, because although it is moving, thinking that it is going towards Radlet, the movement underneath is changing its movement towards Radlet, isn't it? This movement of the elephant, which or the horse, which is underneath, which is carrying this this fly or the ant or whatever, that is moving underneath from a different way, in a opposite direction. So, so what is happening here is that our mind is like this fly which is on the horse, which is on the horse. We are making plans. We are going in a particular direction. This is my life. This is where I'm going to do it. This is what I'll be doing. Another force behind that is moving us in another direction, which we don't always recognize. We don't even think about it, that there's another force operating here. We are completely bewildered by this, that often you will notice this, you are making your own plans, another plan is going on in another direction from somewhere else, which is unknown to us. So, and this movement of the mind is just like this movement of this fly, which is thinking that it is moving in one direction. So, it is nothing much different, whatever we call it as, this movement, whether you call it as the evolution or devolution or progress or whatever that is, it is like that. Everything similar to this movement of the fly. What the mind can do, can only stop your actual movement, what is happening to you. The mind puts a cover to that. Something in the nature is determining our life here. Something in the nature is pushing us in one direction. But what the mind does is, it puts a cover to that and makes us think that we are going in our own direction. Actually, something else is happening in our own, everybody's life. No one can deny that. Nobody can deny that. The reason is that purpose, when material nature has created and given us this body, it has a plan with this body. It has a plan with this body. And that is Srishti, Srishti Shakti. Srishti Shakti means the strength of that creation, creative power of the material nature that is behind us. Whether we know about it, whether we don't know about it, it doesn't matter. It will forcefully take us in that direction, the way it is already set up. Because already when the material nature, we think that nothing, when we come here, most of us are not even aware of thing called material nature. That the Prakriti has such a control over us, we don't even accept that. We have falsely understood so many things, that we have so much independence and we have so much effort to perform here, we have so much to achieve here. That's all very fine. That's all from the mind. But behind this mind, there is this powerful material nature who has already decided what it is going to do with us in our life, where it is going to take us, to what point, where it will come to an end. All these things are decided by the arrangement of the material nature. So, so first thing is, once this fly or the ant, once it comes to know about it, what will it do? That it will realize that I'm not going to make it to get to Radlet, because already the whole thing is going in the opposite direction. Once it get to know that, he will stop his movement. He will think there is no point in wasting time. So, and similarly for us also, if we do not know that all this is going to, this is happening, some other force is driving everything, we'll put a lot of effort and or endeavor in that direction, and eventually you will fail. Eventually you will fail. And so knowing that there is a higher power, superior power operating here, deciding everything in relationship with our life. Life means the purpose for which the body has been given to us, and the destination where it's going to end up finally, All these things are in the hands of that power, not in our hands. And knowing that and stopping our activities completely and be completely situated within oneself, that is what is in Shastram calls as Atmanivedanam. You remember Atmanivedanam? People ask this question. I don't think hardly many people think about it so much. They understood Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. The nine processes of devotional service, isn't it? So in that nine processes, the ninth one, the very last one, is called this Atmanivedanam. What is Atmanivedanam means? Atmanivedanam means to get to know that there is a superior force taking this body in or us in a particular direction, already decided, and destiny will carry on with that. And no matter how much we try to change that, it is not going to change. It's not going to change. It will never change. That is material nature who is doing that, who knows for what purpose we have come, we have been brought here, and it will do its job and send us back from here to another destination. We can cover up all that with our mind and our mental activities. That's all we can do. Recognizing this and accepting that and staying quiet without getting involved too much about it, that is called Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam. That where it takes birth, where it stays and where it dissolves, you can see that this process is continuously going on in this world. In this world, it's happening everywhere. Everywhere this is happening. Living entities are taking birth, living entities are maintained in this world for a certain period of time, and living entities have to leave their body here and go from here. This is the simple way of to explain that. Living entities do not have much freedom in all these things. In all these things. So, the purpose of all, and this is happening in each of the cells in this body. Isn't it? Cells are taking birth, cells are staying for some time, and the cells are getting destroyed at the end. So, this change that is constantly happening without our knowledge in this body, in this mind, and in intelligence, everything is arranged by the material nature, and material nature knows what it is doing. It can carry on in its own way. We can only stay as a witness or completely ignore it and make our plans with the mind and continue to make our so-called progress in this world. Progress in this world. So, all the purpose of all these things, what is the goal of all these things? Veda says to us, after evaluating everything, the sages, the rishis have spoken about this. They have thought about this. Is this a material thing or is this a mental thing? All these things they have analyzed in depth. And they have come to the conclusion, Veda says that the goal of everything is ultimately Anandam. Anandam means bliss. You remember Satya Chitta Anandam. Out of that, Anandam is the word referring to bliss. Bliss is the word used for explain this destiny or the goal, which is known as Anandam. Anandam is spoken in the Upanishads as, you will notice this mentions in the Taittiriya Upanishad particularly, it says there that Anandam, Anandadhyeva khalitvamani bhudani jayande anandena jatani jivandi anandam prat abhisamvishandihi saisha bhargavi varuni vidya. Varuni Vidya, Varuna and Bhrigu, their discussion. And Varuna says to Bhrigu that Anandatyeva Khalitvani Bhudani Jayande. Living entities are born, the ultimate goal of all that is Anandam. Anandam is the goal. We will use this word Anandam because Anandam is different than Sukham. Anandam is different from Sukham. We have to be very clear on all these things because we are at the moment completely mixed up everything. Everything, whenever we talk from the Shastram, immediately we apply with the mind and try to understand with the mind and intelligence. One mistake. Secondly, whenever bliss is spoken, we misunderstand it as happiness. There is a difference between Anandam and Sukham, or bliss and happiness. Bliss and happiness. Happiness and distress go side by side. Anandam, once we have received, got Anandam, it never goes down. It never leaves. It stays forever. That is why that word Anandam is used, not anything else. Ananda devam khalimani bhutani jayande. They are born to get to Anandam at the end. Anandena jatani jivandi. They are meant to live in Anandam. And Anandam prat abhisam vishandihi. Ultimately, they have to leave this world in Anandam. So, rishis are telling us, material nature, if you don't do too much here, if you don't get involved, entangled here too much, material nature's arrangement will be such that you can leave this world in Anandam, not in distress. While we experience so much distress at the time of death, is because we have completely rejected this nature's arrangement for our life in this world. Instead, in our own mind, we have created many plans and ideas and try to cover up this, what is going on by nature's arrangement, and try to find happiness in our own way. And the result of all that is, at the end, distress. At the end, distress. So, Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya Parame Vyoma Pratishthidaham. This is from the Taittiriya Upanishad. He says, Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. Varuna and Bhargavi, that is Bhrigu, when they discussed, this is what finally Varuna said to Bhrigu. Varuna said to Bhrigu about this. Anyway, coming back to this Bhagavadam, it says here, Tajjam Tannam Thalam. That means it is born, it is sustained, and it leaves this world. So, where does it take birth? There is an adhishtanam for that, or basis for that. And where it is sustained and where it eventually dissolves. Why? Anandam. Anandam is different. I'll explain this again. Anandam is different from sukham. We say sukham. I enjoyed that, we say sometimes, isn't it? I enjoyed the feast. I enjoyed the kirtan. I enjoyed the football match. I enjoyed this. Everything is I enjoyed. Is it not? That is not anandam. That is sukham. What is that difference there? A difference is that, so, any sukham what you experience in this world, it must be followed by a dukkham. That is the law. Any sukham if you receive in this world, it should be followed by distress also. Happiness must be followed by distress. That is the very law of this world. Very law of this world. That is why we say dvandvam, isn't it? Duality. Duality of the material nature is that, happiness and distress. So, in one sense, happiness is also a distress. Happiness is also a distress. When will you know that? When you get anandam. Then you will know that actually happiness was also a distress. Up to that time, you would like to have sukham, happiness. Up to that time, you like to have happiness. So, for example, when you have a wound, sometimes a mosquito bites and then you scratch, isn't it? So while scratching you feel good, after scratching, if suddenly the blood starts comes out or something, then there is a problem. So, and that is why sukham is samyojagam. In Shastram the word they use it is samyojagam. Samyojagam means, unless you have some contact with something else outside, you cannot have sukham. Have you noticed that? Sukham is always depending on some contact with something. Through the senses, through the mind. On its own, you cannot have sukham. Do you know what I'm saying? That sukham you can only experience in contact with something. Either through the senses. Normally it is through the senses, isn't it? You see something nice, you feel sukham. You feel, taste something, you feel sukham. You hear something nice, you feel sukham. Similarly, you smell something nice, you feel sukham. So sukham or happiness is samyojagam. Samyojagam means it has to have something to make a contact with. Only then sukham can be experienced. So, in other words, in order to experience sukham, you need the mind. So, you can never experience any sukham without using the mind. That is the principle. Actually, who experiences sukham? The mind experiences the sukham. Mind experiences sukham. So actually, you can see sukham is experienced by the mind. For example, suppose you had a good feast, and after that feast, who tells you the feast was good? Who's telling that to us? The mind is telling us that, isn't it? The mind is telling you that the feast was good. So, and similarly, anything what you experience here, you felt happy, who tells you that? The mind is telling you that, isn't it? So, whatever you have enjoyed in this world, the mind tells you that you enjoyed it. Mind is telling you that, and that is what is called sukham. Sukham is that what is called. Now, on the other hand, you slept at night, and when you woke up after a deep sleep, you felt happy. Who tells you that you felt happy? Where is that reporting coming from? This is why we never think all these things very deeply. Rishis have given such a clear understanding of sukham and anandam. What you experience when you come out of deep sleep, that is anandam, it is not sukham. But mistakenly we think it is sukham, but it is not sukham. Why? The mind was not there to report about it. Mind is gone. Body was gone in the dream state. Mind was gone in the deep sleep. But often you will notice, some people have a doubt about it. They say, well, when I woke up, I felt so good after a deep sleep. I woke up so good. But if you tell him that, look, that is not sukham, it is anandam. You can see this. After a deep sleep, you had rested well and you have recovered from your all your energy back, and you feel so good. And no distress will follow because of that. No distress will follow because of that. Unless you create distress yourself. Something after waking up. Through some actions. But practically, what I'm saying is, the difference between sukham and anandam is that. Anandam is that one comes from the soul. Sukham is that what comes from the mind. What comes from the mind. This clarity is necessary in spiritual life. This clarity is necessary in spiritual life. Otherwise, we can't go further. If you mix everything with the mind all the time and start judging through the mind and intelligence, one day you will feel spiritually on the top of the world. Next day, you will spiritually in the hell. In spiritual life, you are not meant to be like that. One devotee asked this question, was asking, I was told that spiritual life is all blissful. But a lot of calamities happened in life. A lot of calamities happened in life. Marriage broke up, children didn't enjoy it, and children went on their own direction and all that. So they are asking this question. I was told that spiritual life is always blissful. Prabhupada has written everywhere in the book, spiritual life is blissful. So why is it like this? It's not true, is it? So the reason is this, that they have mixed up these two, mind and the anandam. Mind brings you happiness. Anandam comes from the soul. And the easiest way to explain that is this example, Sushupti state. Anandam will come. Anandam will only come from the soul, nowhere else. Anandam, if you notice another thing, it cannot be explained. It is an experience to yourself. You have to experience it. Nobody can tell you how Sushupti is beautiful, how beautiful Sushupti is. You just have to experience yourself. So this clarity is important in this chapter, because a lot of things Krishna is going to say from now on is all on the platform of anandam. Normally we also say, isn't it, Prabhu, I am Sachidananda Vastu. I am made of Satya. I don't know what we mean by all that. I am Satya Chitta Anandam, we say. But what we mean is that I am all right at the moment. My mind is okay. So, because this word anandam is unknown to that person, never thought about this in this way. So, you can see here that You cannot compare with that happiness in the deep sleep with anything else in this world either. You cannot compare that. Even if somebody brings to you all the happiness of this world and tell you, if you can give up that anandam from the sleep and you can have all this sukham in this world, eventually you will choose that anandam. Would you not? Everyone will choose that. No matter how delightful, how exciting everything here it is, after a while you will say to yourself or you'll say to anybody that I cannot live without that, I need that. So ultimately nature's arrangement is also like that. Krishna has given us this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states to make us understand that actual bliss that is experienced in that deep sleep state is the perfection of the spiritual life. It's the perfection of the spiritual life. So, so sometimes you can see that suppose you stop someone from sleeping, going into deep sleep. So after a while, he will say that I cannot live like this. I need to go to sleep. I need that. Why? He knows inside the soul has its nature of providing this anandam from its source. That is the source from where everything comes. So, even if you give him the greatest happiness in this world, sukham, if you stop giving him anandam, eventually even this greatest happiness will become a boredom. Will become a boredom for him. So, what will he do? He will sit there and sleep. He'll sit there and sleep. So, what you experience with the mind is sukham. What you experience with the mind is sukham. Without the mind, you are experiencing something in the form, you are experiencing something without the mind that is called anandam. That is called anandam. These are things for deep reflection. This doesn't require any iPhone, iPad, Kindle or whatever that is available in the world. Nothing is necessary. All you have to do is to sit and think all these things. Krishna wants us to do that. In the next chapter, what we are going to look at, Krishna is telling us that just engage yourself in reflection of these thoughts. A lot of things Krishna is going to tell us. How to make that step towards realization. So, sukham will never stay. Sukham will never stay. If sukham comes, it will be followed by dukkham. It has to be like that. That is the very nature. That is, sense gratification, any senses, in any form, if it is gratifying, it will be followed by some distress, one way or the other. Just because if you take away that sukham, immediately you feel distress. Isn't it? Say you are in the very hot weather, you are in an air-conditioned room, you are enjoying the AC, lying down and enjoying the cool, everything. Suddenly the electricity goes off. What happens then? Then you feel so miserable that, well, what can you do? It is so hot as well. So you can see that happiness, what you were experiencing, when all the other facilities were given, the same happiness can go like this in 1 second and distress can follow immediately. So any object in this world, whether it is an object or whether it is an individual, if you feel that he is giving you happiness, you have to be frightened. You have to be frightened about that. Krishna's words, this is in the Bhagavad, we'll come to that later. You have to be frightened about that. You can see there, sometimes people are very cautious about it, isn't it? Why is that? At some point it will leave me. That happiness I will lose. That fear, always there in everyone. We will, when we get happy in life, in some way, either in our sense enjoyment, family life, whatever it is, sometimes you know that one day it is going to go. That fear is always behind the mind, behind the back. So, because most of the people, they have that common sense to think about that, when they are experiencing their happiness, they also have the fear inside. They also have the fear inside. And this is the reason why we go into temples. This is the reason for that. Why? Because there's only two reasons why we go to the temple. One reason is that either you have lost that happiness in life, you want to get it back. Or alternatively, you have the fear you are going to lose it. One day, you are going to lose it. Nobody is coming to any temple for self-realization. That also you can take it. They're all coming with these two problems only. Either they have the fear that the happiness that they have at the moment, they are going to lose it any moment. Or the vastu or object or a person or whoever that was giving you that happiness, you have lost it and you want to get it back. Whether it is money or it is relationship or it is something else, doesn't matter. Something you have lost which was giving you some happiness in life, you want to get it back. You lost it. Or you go there thinking that I'm going to lose it at some point in time. It's always almost on the verge of losing it. At that point also you will go to the temple. You'll go to the temple. This is common man's life. Everybody knows about that. So we all know that one day they'll go. So externally, that object which is giving you happiness in this world, even if that has not gone away, our mind will one day leave it. That is also another phenomenon you have to notice. Another phenomenon you notice. If you have taken notice of all these things, it will help in spiritual life. This is why I'm saying that. You take a notice of all these things. So this thing called mind is very conscious of all these things. Everyone, it is like that. It's not that most of the people know these things. It's not to be, I'm only repeating what you already know, these things. The very nature of the life in this world is like that. You know very well when you are enjoying in this world, in some form, whatever life or peace what you have, it can go any moment. That peace can leave you at any moment. So here, the thing is that the mind is very sensitive on all these things. The mind knows about it. And mind is programmed also in the same way. Sometimes when the mind is very conscious of that there is some distress going to come, in a natural way, the mind will develop a detachment from that. If you observe that, you will see that. That it is going to bring me unhappiness later. Knowing that, automatically I'll withdraw from that relationship or from that sense enjoyment or anything that is giving you that happiness in this life. Happiness in this life. So, similarly, you can see there, the mind has been given that sensitivity by Krishna's arrangement. Equally, the mind is also given the seed what is necessary for liberation. What is necessary for liberation? Right up to liberation, what is necessary for us to be careful, to take care of, all that necessary instructions and knowledge is already present inside in us. So, what it is that, so all these experiences, what we require, in the computer language, if you say, all that data what you need is already fed into the system. It's already there inside the mind. So this mind, what we call as this thing inside, it is, Upanishads are saying, it is sarvajñaha. Sarvajñaha. It is complete in itself. Why? Because mind, normally when we say, we talk about it in a very casual way about the mind. We don't give much of a importance to the mind. On the other hand, if you look at the mind, that power, it has the capacity to compare from the past with the future. And all that happiness it had in the past, or the distress it had in the past, and the present, and in the future, what it can happen, all this information is in the mind, is inside the mind. Very well, mind is so capable in the sense that it is conscious of the distress that is going to happen in the future. No, we may say sometimes, so I never thought it will happen like this. But that's a present statement. But if you little bit look back again, you will see that mind was conscious of the distress what's going to come. For example, old age is coming. All of us are going to go through that stage. As old age comes, the fear also of fear of the old age also increases inside. Why? Because the problem that the body is going to go away. Body is going to go through a lot of problems, and how long, in what form, that difficulties can develop, these things, does mind has a knowledge of that. Mind has a knowledge. It won't tell you specifically this is what's going to happen, but it has the experience inside that old age will be associated with illness or disease, and eventually the body is going to go. Mind is already aware of that. It's not that mind is not conscious of those things. So, so every time when you are trying to enjoy something in this world, mind will give you a warning from inside, be careful. Mind will tell you from inside to be careful. There is something coming behind. There is something coming behind. So everybody knows that. So that warning from inside, that force from inside, which is giving you that warning every moment, in all circumstances, that is why we are all sitting here very seriously thinking about life. Otherwise, where the seriousness has come? Because it is warning from inside, there is distress going to come and distress is going to follow. And that what is, that what he says like that, and that is that force or urjam, and that is Krishna's Shakti, Ishvara Shakti, Ishvara's Shakti. Normally, the energy is spoken in two forms. One is this power of Krishna, which is constantly reminding us of the distress that is likely to come in the future and the distress that is likely to follow in our life, and constantly alerting us and keeping us on the track, is what is known as Chit Shakti. And that Shakti, which is and that Shakti which is giving us the energy to execute things in this world without any consideration for anything else in ignorance, that is called Jada Shakti. So Jadam and Chit Shakti, two different Shaktis operating in within the same body. Within the same body. So that Shakti, Krishna says here, it has got two things. Shakti is one. It becomes Chit Shakti or it becomes Jada Shakti. It becomes Chit Shakti, when the knowledge is in control, when there is knowledge is controlling our life, when knowledge is controlling our life, that is called Chit Shakti. Or in other words, otherwise, if knowledge is not controlling our life, it is called Jada Shakti. These are statements from the Upanishads. Sages are telling us this. If knowledge is controlling your life, it is Chit Shakti. Knowledge means knowledge of the soul, self-realization, this consciousness that distress is going to come, the understanding that human life is valuable, not to be wasted, squandered away by engaging in sense gratification. Rather, we have to realize the truth right here before we lose this body. All this is knowledge, or Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is knowledge. If that knowledge is controlling their life, it is Chit Shakti. Shakti is one. And instead, completely rejecting Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, constantly absorbed in material activities, engaging in making money, enjoying life, thinking that everything is permanent here, and I have no other obligations to Krishna or to the spiritual master or to anybody, and completely absorbed in sense enjoyment and squandering the life like that, that is Jada Shakti. That is the Jada Shakti. So Shakti is one, but when it comes to the knowledge, it becomes the Chit Shakti. So this Jada Shakti stays inside and continuously gives this happiness and distress. Continuously gives happiness and distress. All kinds of excitement, depression, all those things comes from the Jada Shakti. And so similarly, the seed for liberation, that is also inside us. And in due course of time, at a particular time in life, if a person is following this process, what Krishna is talking about, that seed will also sprout from inside, and a desire for liberation will start manifesting in a person. It's a natural thing. Material nature's arrangement is such that it will keep you in such a state all the time that at some point in life, you will look for liberation from this world. from material existence, from the cycle of birth and death. It will come. In a natural way, it will come. If it is not coming, there is something wrong somewhere. That's the way you have to understand that. So, Krishna's arrangement is such that, though, and when that mind which is inside, when that energy or that shakti, when it becomes stable and it develops in such a way, the mind, this energy that is inside, this shakti inside, when it develops inside in some form, that birth of that shakti is what is called birth. What is called birth. And when that energy in the form of mind, which is continuously keeping us going in this world with this body, intelligence, ego, everything, when that is sustaining this life, that is what our life is in this world. And when that shakti stops its function, work, and that is called death. That is called death. So you can see, when the mind was born, we were born. When the mind was born, we were born. When we talk about mind, you must know clearly, mind is not simply what we generally refer to as mind. Mind means this package where all our desires, all the energy for functioning in this world, and all the thoughts about future, past and present, and this fear associated with that about future, in future what's going to happen to this body, and eventually the death that is going to follow, constantly warning someone from inside. And similarly, whenever any experience of sukham, happiness in this world comes, it will be followed by a distress, this alertness, all this thing is a part of the mind. And when the mind was born, we were born. When the mind is living, we live. And when the mind stops, we die. When the mind stops, we die. When the mind is moving, we live in this world. And when the mind eventually gets dissolved, it is over. It's all over. So, this thing of this mind's birth and mind's sustenance and mind's dissolution is what is called in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasayataha. The first word in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse. Janmadhyasayatunvayaditaradascharteshabhijnaswaran. That verse is so famous. This first verse in the Bhagavatam is so famous. Janmadhyasya yadaha. Janmam adi yasya asya yadaha. That from birth onwards, it is all happens. Why it is referred to mind, not to the body? The reason is, it is the mind that takes birth. It is with the mind it drags, brings the body. Mind is the one that has come from that chit shakti. That energy or shakti that has come from the chit shakti, which has manifested, and for that mind to operate, it needs the body. It needs the senses. It needs that intelligence. It needs the ego. All that follows that mind. It is that mind that has come from that chit shakti. It is with the help of the mind that we maintain this life in this world. And when the mind eventually gets dissolved, the life is over. The life is over. So, just like I am sitting here, and if you want to know what behind me, if you want to know, if I get up and then you take this cloth off, and you will see the cushion there underneath that. Similarly, when the mind is present in us, it covers that adhishtanam. That is the problem. When the mind is present here, we get identified with the mind, we will not see from where the mind has come. Adhishtanam, or the basis of the mind, we won't see. Mind won't allow you to see that. That's how the mind operates like that. It covers that. Just like there is a rope, and when you see the rope as a snake, you won't see the rope, isn't it? You won't see the rope at all. Only when the snake disappears, you will see the rope in the similar way. When the rope is there, and when you see the snake in the rope, you won't see the rope. Raju Sarpanyayam. It's in the Bhagavatam in many places. You will see this mentioned there. So, similarly, only when the mind completely disappears, the source will be known. Adhishtanam will be known. known. It will manifest. So long as the mind is there, you can take it, happiness and distress, good and bad, bondage and liberation, everything will be there. All these dualities must exist as long as the mind is there. Happiness will be there, distress will be there. Bondage will be there, liberation will be there. You will say somebody is a good person, somebody is a bad person. Good and bad. All these things must be there as long as the mind is there. Which is, in other words, it's called as contradictions, opposing things. Yeah. So, when the mind becomes stable, there is no more movement inside the mind, there will be no happiness, there will be no distress, there will be no good, no bad, and there will be no bondage, there will be no liberation. There will be no liberation. So, there is no dukkham, there is no sukham at that stage. Then what is there at that stage? What is present at that time, in that situation, is called anandam. That is what is present in that stage. So, another name for anandam in the Bhagavatam is satyam. Satyam varam dhimahi. It is refers to this anandam. Satyavradam satyabaram cha satyam satyasya satyam nihidanja satye satyasya satyam kradasatya netram satyalmagam tuam sharanam prabhannaha. Brahma says to Krishna. So there Brahma is talking about anandam, about satyam, not about the sukham and the mind. Not about the sukham and the mind. So that anandam is our swarupam, our real swarupam, our nature. By our real, we are created with that substance called anandam. Anandam is our the element with which we are created. Material body is created with the five material elements, but the nature of the soul is anandam. Anandam is what is soul is created with. Satta, chitta, anandam, isn't it? Three things, three elements there. With the satta, eternity, bliss, full of knowledge, chitta, and anandam. So when these three things constitute the, with which the soul is made. The soul is made of these three. Like the body is made of five material elements, the soul is made of these three things. These three things. So that anandam, as I mentioned in the beginning itself, it's not sukham, isn't it? It's not sukham. Why would we say that? Because anandam, the nature of anandam is shanti. Nature of anandam is shanti. Sometimes we get excited, we sing, dance, enjoy, and he says we had a great time. We had a great time. And we'll say we are ecstatic. We feel ecstatic. So many things we say. But that is not the nature of the soul. Nature of the soul is not ecstatic. Nature of the soul is anandam. Anandam is the nature of the soul. So, why we say that excitement, happiness and distress, everything, we may misunderstand that with anandam. Anandam. So, why all these things, which means happiness, enjoyment, excitement, depression, all these things, it has a beginning. Because it has a beginning, it has an end as well. This is how Vedantam mentions that. Vedantam talks about it like this. Anything which has got a beginning, it has got an end. It must have an end. This is the principle. Anything which has got a beginning must have an end as well. But anandam, it has no beginning. It is still there inside for the soul. So there is no beginning as such, and it has no end either. The soul has no, anandam has no beginning. Excitement and happiness and depression and all kinds of all kinds of things what you experience through the mind, it has a beginning and a end. Beginning and a end. So because of that, there will never be any fulfillment through mind. Through fulfillment won't be there. You will experience happiness for some time, experience distress for some time, but fulfillment will never be there. That fulfillment, in Upanishads, it's called Purnatvam, completeness, Shandi. or the state without any connection with the mind, without any connection with the mind, and pure existence, bodham, awareness. So many words in the Shastram, they all mean the same thing, used in different ways in different places. That's all. Astitvam. Astitvam means pure existence, in other words. Pure awareness, consciousness, pure consciousness. Or that pure shanti, peacefulness inside. Fulfillment. These are all different words. Bodham, another word. All used to indicate the same thing, that the nature of the soul is not anything that you can tamper with. You cannot play with it. Happiness and distress you can alter by your effort, isn't it? By your effort you can change your happiness and distress. For example, if you have some kind of sense gratification which gives you happiness, you can increase your sense gratification, increase your happiness also temporarily, although it may bring distress later due to that excessive gratification. Similarly, distress also, you can relieve your distress by various means. So there you have some role to play with. But as far as the soul is concerned, the nature of the soul is anandam, which is bliss. There you cannot tamper with it, because that is the very nature of the soul. It never increases or decreases, it's always present in the soul. All this is spoken to explain the importance of self-realization. We may think, what is the point in getting self-realized? Why not I continue like the way I am? I'm happy now, why should I bother? People ask like that, isn't it? I'm happy what I'm doing. I got the right job, I got enough money, and I got a good family life. Why should I bother all this liberation and everything we're talking about? So the answer to that is this, that none of that is anandam. That is sukham, it is what you are experiencing from there. So similarly, what we call it as nirvanam in Buddhism, moksham or liberation in Vedantam, it all refers to this anandam state, the state of anandam. That is why in the beginning of Bhagavadam, you will see Vedavyasa Maharshi first says, Satyam Param Dhimahi, Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate on that truth, Satyam, anandam, on that I meditate upon, because that is the goal, in other words. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this Satyam Param Dhimahi. Srimad Bhagavatam finishes also with Satyam Param Dhimahi, isn't it? In the Kasmayena Vibhasitoyamatulo, Jnana Pradipa Pura Tadrupena Janaradaya Munaye, Krishnaya Tadrupina, Yogindraya Dhalpanada, Bhagavadradaya Karunyadam, Tachuddham, Vimalam, Vishogam, Amradam, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So Satyam Param Dhimahi is the basis. It is Satyam Param Dhimahi in the beginning, Satyam Param Dhimahi at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? It is based on Satyam Param Dhimahi. Srimad Bhagavatam is centered around. And that Satyam is Krishna. That Satyam is Krishna. Now you know who Krishna is. Krishna is that Satyam Param Dhimahi. Vedavyasa Maharshi could have written Krishnam Param Dhimahi, but he didn't say Krishnam Param Dhimahi. Deliberately he put it as Satyam Param Dhimahi to tell us that this is Krishna, that Satyam. Satyam means that whatever way you want to address it, Satya Chitta Anandam, that is that Satyam. Nature of that Satyam, the soul, the spirit, the spiritual nature, spiritual identity, which is Krishna. So, how to Krishna? There he says, Satyam Param Dhimahi. I would like to meditate upon that, he says. Meditate upon that. How can you meditate upon something? The way to meditate upon that is to talk about it and to hear about it. That is the way to meditate, because it hasn't got a form as such you can meditate upon. That Satyam Param Dhimahi, Krishna's form you can meditate upon. But when Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, Satyam Param Dhimahi, in order to develop a relationship with that Satyam, the easiest way is through Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is an expansion of that Satyam Param Dhimahi. Expansion of that Satyam Param Dhimahi. All the knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the glorifications in the Srimad Bhagavatam, instructions in the Bhagavatam, is centered around that Satyam Param Dhimahi. So the difficulty here, anything you can capture in this world, any object with your hand, if you can get it, you can get hold of that. But this anandam, you cannot capture in that way. Anandam, you cannot capture in that way. You can understand what I am saying sometimes. When we say all these things, I am speaking from Bhagavatam now. I am speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam now. And you are here. You are hearing this. So, why can't I get hold of that anandam? This question will come into your mind. This is a question that will come through your intelligence at this point. You will ask the question, often you have asked this question, what's the point in going on talking like this at the end? Should we not, can I get it? That will be the question, isn't it? You keep on talking soul, 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 soul all the time. But I'm not getting anything. Then the next question will be, that is will I get it any time? That will be one question. Will ever I get it? Number one. And the next question will be, what do I have to do to get it? That's the next question. So you are saying so many things and we are just hearing it. What is the end of this? Where is it going to end? So much time we are spending on this. So how to get it? And that is the very nature in this world. That's the very nature of this world. So anything you say to anybody in this world, first thing you say so many things that you can get this, you can get that. They will ask you the first question, how can I get it? That is the next thought that will follow. So similarly, here also, this anandam is Krishna Swarupam, isn't it? So Swarupam of Krishna is anandam. You can call it as anandam, in other words, it's also referred to as bhakti. Bhakti is that. So how to get it? That is the next question. There is no answer to that question. This is simple as that. There is no answer to that question because in our mind, we have very strongly created this feeling that everything I have to go and get it from somewhere. Just like we get it from the supermarket or we get it from somewhere else. Bhakti, anandam, is something we have to get it from somewhere. And that is why we ask that question. The moment somebody mentions that, there is no answer to that question. Therefore, what the great acharyas will tell you, if you ask a very highly realized soul, as soon as you put this question to him, what he will answer you will be, in most cases, go and chant Hare Krishna, or he'll tell you that do some pranayama, or practice some yoga, or this, that and the other, because he understood that you have not understood the subject, what you are asking. A very matured person in spiritual life will never ask a question that, how can I get it? The moment you ask that question, it means that you have not spiritually grown enough properly, because there is nothing to get. This is the first thing. There is nothing to get anywhere. It's not. Most of us start spiritual life with this understanding, I will practice spiritual life for 40 years, 50 years, whatever time allotted in this body, and I'll follow the sadhana process, whatever was given. And in the back of your mind, you are thinking that, oh, my spiritual master has told me that you keep chanting, everything will be alright, but nothing is changing in life. So immediately you have to start thinking also, what exactly is that means? That Krishna, here, from spiritual point of view, if ever you have thought in your mind that there is something to get, that means you are not ready for spiritual life. You are not ready for spiritual life. This is from all the realized souls will tell you that. That is why quite often when people come to see great realized personalities, when they come there, they'll come with a lot of problems, is it now? So that when they come and ask this question, the first question answer will be from there that actually very matured person, he should never have this question even inside. So if he thinks that I have to achieve this, I have to get it, I have to get it somehow. So if you think that, you have to get something, there must be someone who wants to get it, isn't it? There must be someone who wants to get it. So, who wants to get it? That is the next question. Who wants to get it? So, a person who has come into contact with a properly realized person, highly realized, is intelligent and self-realized soul, and if he has not got rid of this perception from his mind, from his inside, in other words, that I have to get something, if it has not gone away from him, that then the answer is that that person is not ready for spiritual life yet. It is a great misunderstanding in our head that I am doing all these things thinking that one day some result is going to come. It is in the mind of every devotee. They are thinking we will continue doing it. It hasn't happened so far, but one day it will happen. This is the calculation in everyone's head, isn't it? There is nothing going to happen. We will be doing it, that's all. Nothing is going to happen. If you do not accept what Krishna is saying here, is that the whole purpose centered around is this, that spiritual life is, there is nothing to get from anywhere, anything. Already the soul is inside. Very nature of the soul is Satta, Chitta, Anandam. What it is covered by, Ajnanam, covered by ignorance. Bhagavad Gita is very forthright about that, isn't it? Ajnanena varadam jnanam, tena mohyanti jandava. You will see a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What is Krishna saying there? Ajnanam is already there inside, all of us. It is not going to come from anywhere else. What's happening is, Ajnanena avritam jnanam. Ajnanam has covered that jnanam. Tena muhyanti jandava. All the jandu, all the living entities are completely illusioned by this ajnanam that has covered the knowledge inside. Knowledge is not going to come from anywhere else. It's already there inside. Very nature of the soul is satyam jnanam. Satya chitta anandam. That chitta is there. Knowledge is already present there. So, if the disciple, after in relationship with the spiritual master, if he is still feeling the necessity that he has to acquire something, it means that disciple is not ready for spiritual life. In other words, after receiving a spiritual master, guru, here it refers to guru, and so it's not as a person alone, it is that presence of Krishna. After receiving that presence, even after that, if he is still thinking that I have to achieve something in this world, or he is thinking that he has got a lot of things to do in this world, or if he is thinking that there is some shortcomings in him, or if he is thinking that he has to do a lot of sadhana to get it, or if he is still thinking he has to achieve something in this world, and if he is still thinking that he exists separately from everything, all this is what is called Brahmam. Brahmam. I am speaking in this way because the next chapter is Jnanam. In the Jnana Yoga Sadhana, Jnana Sadhana, these things are important. These things are important in Jnana Sadhana. In Jnana Margam, whenever you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that the process itself is that our own identity, what it is, what is our relationship with the spiritual master, what is spiritual master's position. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, you will notice also this, tadviddhi pranipadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattvadarshinaha. It is referred to jnanam there. Upadekshandide jnanam, knowledge. Jnanina, one who has realized, who has tattvadarshina. That is what verse is directly pointing at. Upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattvadarshina. Jnani, who is a tattvadarshi, who has realized the truth, he can give you that jnanam. That is what it means. Upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattvadarshina. So, one who has realized it, tattvam, who is a jnani, realized soul, and tattvadarshi, he can directly give you that jnanam in that state. So here, as I mentioned, that if you're still thinking that After receiving a personality like that as your spiritual master, suppose Krishna's arrangement, you have met a personality like that, who is realized totally. And after that, if you still think that I have to achieve something, because his sannidhyam, his presence, that is more important. In that sannidhyam, one should not any time think anymore that he has to achieve something. There is nothing to achieve after that. And I have to do a lot for that to get it. Or there is a lot of things that is absent in me, which I have to acquire from outside. And for that, I have to perform a lot of sadhana for that. And I have to attain something afterwards. These are all the brahmam of the mind. These are all the brahmam inside the mind. So, in addition to that, I exit separately from all these things. And it is my duty to achieve that. It's my responsibility. All these are, that is the doubts that is created from the mind. So, in the Shastram it says, a person who is in that level, he has actually committed brahmahatya. Brahmahatya. Brahmahatya means, in the sense that he has not accepted that spiritual master properly. He has not accepted the spiritual master properly. This is to show to us that a disciple also has to grow. Of course, in the modern context, in the modern spiritual field, all these things are never taken into account any time, isn't it? We are long ago, when not so long ago, but thousands of years ago, there was this madness. This madness, what was this madness? Madness was this, that somehow or the other, we have to get people to come, to become spiritual, and to make them spiritual somehow, by beating or killing or smashing their heads or something like that. Somehow you have to make everybody spiritual. If this madness takes over, it has happened during the Buddhist period, to the Jainism also, this was very prominent at that stage, and that is how they became degraded in due course. Became degraded. After Buddha took over, first thing, after Buddha didn't do himself any of these things. But you know these things, a thing called disciples, who are getting very experts in all these things. They take care of this, all these things. So Buddha had to run away from the disciples because of this. Because they start all this organization and management, and they think that this is what Buddha wants them to do. Buddha wants them to realize themselves. But instead, they were busy in getting everyone else into the fold to bring it together. Increase the number. Somehow or the other, increase the number. So that kind of spiritual life will not lead anywhere. It is total ignorance, that is. It's not going to help anyone, and they can only leave this world. They will also, after a while, they'll come to their senses and say that they wasted their time doing this. It's not going to help. So, in the same way, here, such a situation happens, suppose someone comes to a great soul and comes to him with this intention that I have to do all these things and I've not got it and I have to do. That means spiritually in a very immature state he is, and he has not recognized the presence of the spiritual master. But and he will have a loads of questions also to ask. This person who is coming like this, he thinks that it's all question answer. Spiritual life is all question answer. A loads of questions and a loads of answers. What do they call it? FAQ, isn't it? So sometimes I think that it's better to create one FAQ and print it out and keep a stock here. Whenever asked a question, check it out if it is there, your question in that, and hand it over to him. If spiritual life was so simple, FAQ it is, isn't it? In every website now, everybody puts on this FAQ, isn't it? So, it's not what?
On our.
Oh, yeah, not put it on yet. So, FAQ is sometimes becomes necessary. You have to remember, spiritual life in the modern world is a completely charismatic business. It is. You can look yourself and see yourself what is going on. I don't have to say this. It's a completely business centered around charisma. A charismatic personality with a lot of wealth, a lot of followers, everybody says, I'll take initiation from him, what does it matter? If I make it, fine. If I don't make it, what does it matter? This is how all these things are going on in this world. Total waste of time. So, the thing is that Krishna is saying here, when we go to Krishna's words and start looking at it, you will see the foolishness, the hollowness of the whole thing, what goes on in this world today in the name of spiritual life. In the name of spiritual life. So, here, when such situation happens, normally, the great personalities, what they'll do, if you go to them with all these kinds of questions and all these kinds of doubts or clarifications, what you want before you take the spiritual life, he will immediately sense it and he will tell you that, look, the best thing for you is to chant some 192 rounds every day. You'll be all right after that and send you away. Or tell you that you do some pranayama every day, like our Swami Ramdev's philosophy. But none of these things, they know, spiritually if you are vibrant, spiritually that maturity has come, these questions will not happen at all, even inside. Question and answer is not the solution to the problems. Actually, if there is a lamp burning, and there is a wick that is burning there, so the contact with that lamp is sufficient to burn inside, isn't it? Similarly, adhyatmam means spirituality, that only one way you can experience that. Nothing ultimately will take you to spiritual life. It is a fact of life. Chanting, sadhana, and anushtanam, yoga sadhana. None of these things, studying the books, is not a process. Krishna says that in this chapter. I'll read that verse to you. You can look at it yourself. Krishna says there, in this chapter, including chanting, he mentions there. You may be shocked when I say this, because our life is all centered around the chanting, isn't it? So, Krishna says here, if you look in the 19th chapter, we'll come to that later, of course, but here, Krishna says, while glorifying the knowledge, he says, verse 4, tapattirtham jabodanam pavitranidarani cha nalam kurvandidam siddhim ya jnanakalaya krutaham. Tapastirtham jabam tanam pavitranidarani cha nalam kurvandidam siddhim ya jnanakalaya krutaham. Krishna is saying, jnanakalaya ya krita tam siddhim tapa adayaha nalam kurvandi. Without the knowledge of the soul, without self-realization, whatever you achieve through your austerities or through your pilgrimage, tirtham, bathing in the holy rivers or holy places, chanting the holy name, charity, none of them will bring the result what jnanam will bring. What jnanam will bring. Such is the importance of the knowledge of the soul. Discarding the knowledge of the soul, trying to make progress in spiritual path, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam does not agree. That's all I can say. Tapattirtham jabodanam pavitra nidaranicha nalam kurvandidam siddhim ya jnanakalaya kridaham. Jnanakalaya kridaha ya krida tam siddhi. That you will achieve through jnanakala. Jnanakala means through acquiring the spiritual knowledge, self-realization, that will never happen by tapasya, austerities and penances, or tirtha yasnanam, mantra japam, danam, or any other purificatory processes will not take us to that state. So it is not to minimize the importance of chanting. You should not misunderstand like that. This Ekadasha Skandam is spoken from a very higher level. Very higher level Krishna is speaking. Some of the things what Krishna is going to say afterwards will be equally shocking to us. That whatever we have been endeavoring hard, while you are in the sadhana stage, chanting is necessary. In the sadhana stage. But Ekadasha Skandam is speaking from a much higher level. That is why we may find it not that, oh, give up everything straight away. And that everything is finished now, I'm just liberated now, I'm staying free from all problems. It will not work. So, here, you can see here, with the When one has come into contact with an Acharya who is Anubhuti Sampannam, who has that realizations in him, and at that moment there will be a transmission of that experience of that realization of the realized soul directly transmitted to the disciple inside. So when he receives that, that Purnatvam or completeness he will experience. At the same time, when he gets it, he will also lose this idea that he has to achieve something in this world, or some idea that he has to become something in this world. Everything will go from inside. So, for him, nothing is going to change. If you look at him, not that anything has changed externally in him, but what he has got at that moment is that fulfillment, complete satisfaction, shanti, what, or sandosham, or tushti, and all bhakti, whatever we terminology we use as in Bhagavatam, you will see different words at different times. Tushti pushti chudabhayanu khasam, it says in the Navayogi Samvadam. There it is used as tushti. It is nothing different than bhakti. It is different, not different from the anandam either. So, Krishna says here, so then when he realizes that, he has become complete. When he comes to that fulfillment, he has become complete. So, we have seen earlier, this will happen, Krishna mentions there earlier, this will must happen through satsangam. Satsangam is meant for that. Satsangam, this should happen. So, if you look back into Bhagavatam, what does Krishna give more importance to anything else? We mentioned that before, that the Krishna mentions there, that Uddhava, nothing else can create that realization except through satsangam. Remember that? We talked about in the 12th chapter. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Narodhayadimam Yogo Nasangyam Dharma Evacha Naswadhyaya Tapasthyago Ishtapurtam Nadakshinaha Vradani Yatnya Chandamsi Tirthani Neyamayamaha Yadha Avarunde Salsangam Sarvam Sangapaho Himam Salsangena dudaideya yadudhana mrgaha khagaha gandharu apsaraso naga siddhas charana guhyagaha vidyadhara manushyeshu vaishya shudra astriyo andyajaha rajastama pragradaya stasmin yuge anakaha bahavo malpadam praptva tvashtra kaya dhavadayaha vrushabarva belir bano mayaschadha vibhishanaha Sugrivo Hanuman Raksho Gajo Gridro Vanikpadhaha Vyadha Kubja Vraje Gopyo Yatnyabatnyas Tathapare Tenadhida Shudiganaha Nobasida Mahatamaha Avrada Tapta Tapasaha Salsangan Mam Ubagadaha Kevalena Hibhavena Gopyo Gavo Nagamagaha E Anye Mudadiyo Nagaha Siddha Mame Yuranjasaha Yamna yogena sanghena dana vrata tapodhvarehi vyakhya swadhyaya sanyasyai prapnu yadyatnavan abhim. So many verses Krishna has referred to in the Bhagavatam to talk about salsangam. And Krishna is going to start this chapter when he is mentioning here. He says to Uddhava that because you are so dear to me, Krishna says to Uddhava, isn't it? That you are so dear to me, and because you are so dear to me, I like you so much that that I have decided to talk to you about this truth. This is how Krishna reveals the truth to Uddhava, isn't it? So why does Krishna say it there? Because I like you so much, he says, isn't it? The word, if you use there, look at that 12th chapter, what Krishna has used the word about while referring to Uddhava. What he says there is that Hmm. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavatam that Uddhava, you are so dear to me. Isn't it? Uddhava says, Krishna says to Uddhava, you are so dear to me. And that love Krishna has for Uddhava started flowing without any obstruction. Without any obstruction. That is what you have noticed in the 14th chapter when Krishna started talking to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava that about Uddhava's relationship with Krishna. He says there, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, he says that the Vadhyamano bhi madbhakto vishaye ajitendriyaha praya prakalbhaya bhaktya vishaye nabhi bhuyate. And the one who is most dear to me, he says, Nathadhame priyadama almayo nirna shangara naja sangarshanam na shri naiva almaja yadha bhavan. Nathadhame priyadama almayo nirna shangara najam sangarshanam na shri naiva almaja yadha bhavan. You will never see this, Krishna saying to anybody else. Krishna saying this to anyone else. You will never see this anywhere else in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. So here, why did Krishna say that? Only if Krishna say like that, the person who is listening will have total faith in Krishna's words. You see that relationship? How relationship can change with a few words. As far as Krishna is concerned, there is no love or hate towards anyone. That is Krishna's position, isn't it? But to Uddhava, Krishna mentions like this. Why is that? In order that, when Krishna is saying something, Uddhava has to make it easier for Uddhava to accept it. Most of us, like Uddhava also had, of course, Uddhava is fortunate in the sense that keeping Uddhava in the front, Krishna is talking to us. That we must never forget it. Uddhava doesn't need all these instructions, what Krishna is talking to us. But through Uddhava, the message to us is that when Krishna speaks like this to Uddhava, to tell us that if a spiritual master and a disciple, when that relationship becomes perfect, he said, when the spiritual master feels such a boundless love and affection for the disciple, feels for him, at that point, the disciple also reciprocates with the same feeling towards the spiritual master. In other words, his faith in the spiritual master's words and the realization that will flow from the spiritual master to the disciple is without any obstacles. It flows very freely. Flows very freely. The spiritual master-disciple relationship is not an ordinary relationship. It's not a business relationship or an email relationship. It is a relationship based properly on a platform of the soul, on the platform of the soul. Throughout Bhagavatam, that is a very important point stressed. But as I said, in the modern world, it is a different relationship altogether. And so here, in order that the attention increases in Uddhava's side, Krishna says to him that I'm going to talk to you about the most confidential thing, Krishna says, and I will open it up in front of you. Sayesha jivo vivara prasudi. Krishna talks about that in the 12th chapter also. I will reveal to you the greatest and the most profound secret, Krishna says to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava. That is why I said, Narodhayadimam yogo na sankhyam na Uddhava. Isn't it? The first verse itself. What is possible through satsangam, it is not possible what through yogam or through sankhyam or through swadhyayam. Swadhyayam means studying the shastram. Or through tapas, austerities or something. It is not possible. Because in all these things, what we talked about, tapas, swadhyayam, and in all these things, there is a person who is doing it. There is a person who is doing it. In other words, I am chanting, I am studying, I am performing austerities, that I is very strongly present in everything. And even while studying the Shastram, So while executing a yogam also, the person who is practicing is there. So as long as it is there, in every activity, that I will come and stand in the front of everything. Isn't it? Whenever we are talking about any activity when we perform, we start the sentence with I. I've done this. I've chanted my rounds. I've studied the Bhagavad Gita. I have executed austerities. I have performed penances. In everywhere, I will stand in the front before everything else. In satsangam, this I goes away. That is why satsangam is given more credibility than the all the other processes. In satsangam, Krishna is saying here that Narodha Yadimam Yogo Na Sanghyam Na Uddhava. Uddhava, yogam, sanghyam, swadhyayam, tapasya, all these things, the person who is doing it is always in the front. Whereas in satsangam, it doesn't happen. Why? You don't think that I am hearing. Every word when you hear it, I am hearing. I am listening. You don't say that. I doesn't come as powerfully as the way it comes in all the other activities. That is why the influence or the impact of I or the false ego is minimum while in satsangam. While in satsangam. So that is why generally it is given the example that this problem of this false ego is a very powerful thing, isn't it? Very powerful thing. There was some devotee that he has this question about this issue, about this spiritual life. He had so many different desires and plans in his head. So he says to him that he goes to his spiritual master. He says to him that you are always telling me so many things to do this, but nothing is happening to me, he said. One day he got so frustrated. So nowadays what happens is the spiritual master runs away. He doesn't stay. He says, if I stay there too long, this man is going to catch me one day. And one day he sends the frustration straight away. And he says that, okay, I'm so busy, I've got so many other disciples to go to, I go there now. He goes, runs away. So, but that is not Vedic system. Vedic system is that you see openly, open up the whole thing and speak the truth, what is necessary. So here, what has happened is that the sadhana and upasana and everything is like this. You remember in the olden days, I don't know whether you have seen this, before they have started extracting oil from the oil seeds. Now they have oil mills, isn't it? They extract the oil through the oil mills. But in the past what they used to do, they used to have a bull. And there will be a long rod, at the end there will be a grinding stone. And they'll throw the whole seeds in this pit. And this bull will walk around, circling all the time, all around. And in that process, the oil seed will be crushed and oil will come out. Oil will be extracted from that. You won't see this anymore now, anywhere in the world. I don't think it exists. But it did exist some 30, 40 years ago, it was there. But now all these things are more mechanized, isn't it? So there what they used to do, that in front of the bull, right between the two eyes, where it's that long part, in front of that there is a stick they'll tie. On that they'll put some grass, that nice green grass, they will hang on to that. So the bull will think, I'm going to get that grass. And trying to get that grass, he'll keep on walking. And in that process, the oil will be extracted from the seeds. You don't need anybody to manage it. You just tie this grass and let it go. The bull will do the work. So sometimes, I'm giving this example, this sadhana is like this. They'll give you something and tell you, do this. Rest of the life, keep on doing it. It will come one day. And you'll keep on doing it like the bull, without thinking anything. What am I doing for? What is the goal? There is no thinking like that. Sadhana every day. Keep on doing sadhana. If you ask him, why are you doing this for? Ah, well, my spiritual master told me, I'll go back, come back to Godhead. I'm doing it on that understanding. That is not how you take sadhana. That's what Krishna is saying here. That Narodha Yadimam Yogo Na Sanghyam Na Uddhava. None of them will work if you do not accept what Krishna is saying. In other words, all that Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam, it should be there inside also us, inside us also. You can't reject Bhagavatam and keep on saying, I'm doing sadhana all the time and every results will come. That means there you can see the attitude is, I'll be doing this, one day the result will be coming. Krishna is saying that is the biggest trap in spiritual life. It's a kind of a trap that it is. You get trapped there, thinking that I'll be doing, I've been told this is what you have to do, and I'll be doing it. And you will know sometimes, you will see sometimes devotees also, they're always getting a little bit disturbed over it, while they've done for 30, 40 years, nothing has happened. Nothing has happened in life, and they're asking the question, how long more? So all these questions are every day in your own life. If you talk to devotees, you will come to know these questions are coming. So anyway, whatever it may be, so this question, why I'm saying this is that one disciple said to the spiritual master, I'm sometimes feeling that I'm like that bull, he said, going around, not getting anywhere. So he said to him, that is Maya, said. That is the name of Maya. So as long as you have a goal in life, it means you are in Maya. You see? As long as you have a goal in life, you are in Maya. Because if you understand spiritual life, spiritually our identity, if Shastram is true, if Vedavyasa Maharshi is true, if Krishna is true, if you accept them, what they are telling us is, by identity, we are soul. We are spirit soul. Spirit soul by nature is full of knowledge, eternal and full of bliss. This is our identity. This is our identity. So, but we have not accepted that yet. What are we doing now? We are doing, I have to do a lot of work to get there. To get there. One day I'll get there. We'll say like that sometimes, isn't it? Which is an indication that we are inside this Maya. Because it is Maya that is teaching us that there is something to achieve in this world. Somewhere to get someday, one day, sometime or the other. So, normally, one who is a very materialistic nature, Laugiyam. Laugiyam means materialistic nature. In order to get him out from there, initially we have to tell him, Prabhu, this thing called self-realization is very important. You have to give him some goal. And that is what all great acharyas do. They will tell you, oh, you have to go back to Golokam, you have to go back to Vaikuntham, you have to go back to Kailasam. Or you have to do some goal, you have to give it to him. Because he is coming from this Maya, that there is a goal at the end. He likes a goal. If he has got a goal, then he can do something for that, isn't it? In order to get that person going in spiritual life, you have to give that goal. But once you have entered into this spiritual life, the goal must go. This is a little difficult thing, because all this time we are talking about self-realization. And when Krishna says this chapter, this is why I'm saying this chapter, opens up a completely different understanding. Remember, as long as we have this goal is only up to a point till you enter into spiritual life completely. Till that time you need the goal. But after that, if you still keep the goal and keep working like that, that means it is Maya. That is the point Krishna is going to say about that later in this chapter. That is also a Brahman. So, in other words, you have kept self-realization as though it is separate from the self. And this will bring this illusion in our mind that is something I have to achieve one day. And when it comes there, I am there. So long as you have a goal in the front, you are there as well. If you have any goal at the end, then you have your presence is also there. In other words, you have the feeling that I have to become something, I have to acquire something, and I am there. And if you do these things, it means that the person who is doing it there is also there. And then Krishna is saying there, now you are in bondage, and later on you are going to get liberated. liberated. So as long as there is a person who is going to get liberated, it will not be a liberation. It will not be a liberation. That is why earlier, if you remember, Krishna mentioned this. Bandham Mukti, bondage and liberation. Idi Vyakhya Gunato Me Na Vastuta. You have to think these things through a lot. Otherwise, you won't capture. You think, oh, I'm saying something different now. You're saying one day one thing and you're telling something different. No, it is not like that. These verses, Krishna is speaking from a completely different level. He is breaking us closer to the truth, to the reality. Reality is this. There is no bandham, there is no moksham. There is no bondage, there is no liberation. When Krishna says like, and another side in Bhagavatam you will see, that one should endeavor very hard for moksham, for liberation from this world. The same Bhagavatam, it says like that. So people who read this, they'll start thinking that why Krishna is speaking like this. Krishna's activities are very difficult to understand. Krishna's words are very difficult to understand. And what pleases Krishna is also very difficult to understand. That we will see later as we go through this chapter. So it's 5 o'clock. We'll stop for another 10 minutes or 15 minutes and we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita after that.